Welcome to Plaid for Women Radio. This is a show focused on the business of life, communication, behavior, relationships, time management, and more. We're not here to solve the problems of the world. We're here to help you solve the problems in your world. So tune in and discover how you can reach your goals, gain influence, and be heard. Now, here's your host, Sarah Zink.
The elusive nature of confidence. The struggle for self-esteem, the inability sometimes for us to be able to fully appreciate what we bring to the table. This is the topic of today's segment. My guest is a returning guest, Coach Joanne Marceau. She is a certified results coach, and she and I have begun a series about the seven lies that will knock the wind out of your confidence. And today, we're discussing lie two. And the lie is, if I focus on why I'm lacking confidence, it will get better. Why is that a lie? Well, I don't know. That's why we have people smarter than me on this show. And so if you would join me as we welcome my guest today, Joanne Marceau. Coach Joanne, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Sarah. Great to be here this morning.
Well, it's always a pleasure. And, you know, I will say it is a delight to have folks like you who are indeed smarter than me. And if you would, for the people who are listening who may not be familiar with you, will you take a moment and just let them know a little bit about you and the journey to get you to where you are today?
Well, I am a certified results coach, and I spent a good portion of my life questioning my decisions and questioning my own confidence until I learned otherwise. Now I'm on a journey to help others really be unstoppable. And one of the things that really stops us is doubting ourselves. And it's my passion to quiet the doubter in all of us and release that unstoppable nature of us.
Well, some of us, you and I talked a little bit before the show, and clearly, for me, confidence isn't something that I struggle with. I have many other issues that I deal with. So for those of you who are listening, I'm certainly not saying that I don't struggle with things. But this confidence piece is something that I have to say, at least in recent memory, is not something that I struggle with. But there are so many women in particular who are struggling with confidence. And I would very much like for you to start off the discussion by explaining, why is it a lie that if I'm focusing on why I lack confidence, I mean, if I say, well, I'm not confident because of XYZ, why that doesn't make it better?
Well, I love to say that it just fuels the fire. That questioning of why you're not confident focuses your attention on answering that very question. Why am I not confident? And as a result of that, your brain just naturally will try and figure that out, which will be to look for all the reasons why you aren't confident. And it becomes very much of a downward spiral where you're focusing on all those reasons, all the maybe the limitations you have, the doubts that you have, the second guessing that may be a pattern, whatever it is in each listener's individual life. All that question of why am I not confident does is focus you on trying to answer that question rather than trying to find the solution to expanding your confidence.
So in essence, what I'm really doing is I'm finding yet another thing to distract me, as you said earlier, from becoming confident. So if I say, all right, well, my lack of confidence comes from my not having the skill, so then I focus on that skill, but it's not going to ever be enough, Joanne. I'll never be enough if all I'm doing is saying, well, okay, I'm not confident because I'm not thin enough or pretty enough or smart enough or I lack this skill, because then when I get it, I'm going to beat myself up, because if I'm following your logic, my trend is to keep finding out what's wrong with me. Well, I may have that skill, but I don't do it enough or right enough. It's not good enough.
Exactly. That's it. That's exactly it. And we tend to have this sort of odd fascination with rehashing our past to try and figure out a way to stop it. It's like if we go back and find the reason, find the one place where my confidence went off track, let's say, then if I figure out what that was, then I won't have it anymore. I won't have that issue anymore. And it just is that downward spiral of going into the past, looking to see that magical event that caused the downward spiral. And it's never enough. That's not something you can turn around out of the past. It is something by focusing on the great things we do that we can focus on the solutions for the future. And I love to say you expand your confidence. Wherever you are now is enough. And then you move from there versus trying to figure out how you got here in the first place.
Well, everything that we do here at Plaid Radio is always focused on action items and how to change our mindset. So what I'm hearing you say is, I've got to retrain my brain. So the old way of thinking is, well, I'm lacking confidence because I'm not a good speaker. And so then I'm going to be going and taking all these speaking classes. But then when I stand up to speak, I still lack confidence, or I'm not good enough. That's why I'm nervous about it. But what you're saying is, I begin to look at, instead of focusing on what all I'm doing wrong, or I'm not good enough at this or that or the other, that the action item here is to begin to focus on what I'm doing right, or what is good about the idea or my speaking as it is right now, that kind of thinking.
Exactly. To retrain your brain is the best way to say it. Onto the things that you do well. Our brains are really simple and will go in the direction where we guide them. We'll focus on our dominant thought. And when you shift to focus on successes in our lives, then our brains just say, oh, okay, you want me to pay more attention to your successes. I can do that. And what then you'll notice is you start noticing the things that you do well. You start to really hear praise that people will offer you and be able to accept it and integrate it into your belief structure.
And I mean, certainly we're not telling people to not learn how to be better speakers and not to develop their skill sets, but that doesn't mean that you're stuck in a lack of confidence until you get those things. It means you start right now. Is the theory of looking for what you do right kind of like asking people to start looking for yellow butterflies? I mean, you don't see them until you look for them.
Exactly. Or when you buy a red car and then you see them all over the place. That's exactly it. We have those filters on the input from our environment. And so when we tell those filters, okay, open it up to yellow butterflies or red cars or my successes, then that filter opens up and you start to see more and be more receptive to the acknowledgement that we do get, because we get it all the time in life, somewhere, from a friend, somebody at a grocery store, a complete stranger sometimes can provide us with a reason to acknowledge and feel successful about ourselves. And we can do it. If nobody else is doing it, we can do it for ourselves.
But that's not right. I mean, I'm going to be boastful, or I'm going to be like proud, or maybe I'm going to get conceited or egotistical. I mean, you know, they told me as a kid, don't be too prideful or boastful. So what are we talking about? Decades of retraining that we have to engage in to begin to say good things to ourselves?
There is some retraining, and I do work with people who have that exact concern. Somewhere along the line, we did hear from family members, from society, from organizations, don't be prideful, don't be boastful. And some people even let that stop them from saying, I do one thing well. It's like there's a label on any kind of self-acknowledgement that puts it into the egotistical, boastful category automatically. And what I find is that those individuals are the ones who struggle with a sense of being tentative. And they may be very successful in their careers, and yet underneath, inside, in that quiet space in their head, they're tentative, they're cautious, they have an ongoing experience of second-guessing. And it's miserable to have this outside experience of being successful, and yet underneath there's always that what if, second guessing. And so I work with a lot of people on learning how to praise themselves, and that it isn't boastful, especially as an adult. It's valuable, and it helps us expand who we know ourselves as and what we experience as our contribution in life.
Well, and certainly, you know, here's the razor wire, as there is with most things. It isn't a bad thing that we question ourselves. I mean, to be fully transparent, as I say, confidence isn't something I struggle with, but I will say I will pay attention to the things I might not be doing right. And if I see consistency in that error, then I recognize it as something that I need to improve on. So it isn't that we're saying don't be cautious, don't be doubtful. What we are saying is the constant doubting of yourself, the constant second guessing, and then it really is. I mean, I want to focus on this for just a minute, because we're talking about the lie being that to focus on why I lack confidence. And what you're saying, the action item that we're giving to the listeners is stop it. And to begin to focus on what you're doing right. I mean, certainly improve yourself where you can and where it makes sense, but you're actually telling people to begin to focus on what they're doing right. I mean, this is an entire shift in our habits and our thinking. And so it does feel counterintuitive. But what I'm also, you sent in a note, I think it was, I read a book called QBQ, The Question Behind the Question. One of the things that's said in there is be sure you're asking the right questions. And you mentioned that when we're in the process of looking for things we do right and we're looking to resolve our challenges with confidence, that we're asking the wrong question. We're asking why. And you're suggesting that we ask a different question. What would that be?
My favorite question start with what? And we've talked about this a little bit, and it is always good to come back and revisit, because questions that start with why tend to take us to the past almost immediately. Well, why did this happen? Why am I doing that? I caught myself this morning saying, why are things taking so long on the internet this morning? Why is it taking me so long? And I stopped myself and went, there is no answer to that. I don't have an answer. What I do have an answer to, and so do our listeners, is the questions that start with what. So rather than asking why are things not working out for me this morning in the way that I wish that they would, or I would prefer that they would, I can ask what is there that I can do right now that moves me forward. And that's ultimately the high quality question. Asking why takes us right back to the past, trying to figure out something that happened from the past and in order to make a difference today. And that's not the solution. It doesn't work. But asking what can I do right now with what I have from where I am, whether it's gaining productivity in the morning in my case, or whether it's expanding confidence in our listeners' case today, it's all about questions that start with what can I do now with what I have to expand my confidence.
I mean, wouldn't you also agree that, and I've said this in a different context for years, that the why question is a blaming question, that when you're asking why, it tends to be, I would say, either victimizing yourself, you know, oh, why me? Why is everything going
why
wrong?
Me?
Or why is this happening? And even to your point, as you go into the past, you're going to be, I'm this way because my mother's brother's best friend's cousin said something to me when I was six. I mean, many of us might have legitimate things in our past that have happened, but your better question, and the thing I think the listeners really have to take a moment to focus on, the what question is the empowering. What can I do today? What needs to change in my thinking? What needs to change in my life? What skills? What people do I need to hang out with? You know, what changes can I make? Because if we're, you and I say it, I think almost every show, if you're the best person in the group that you're hanging out with, you need to move to another group. You always need to be hanging out with people who are better than you.
Absolutely. And that's a perfect example of what our brains do. because when we're hanging out with a group that's performing at a higher level than we are, whatever that may be, in whatever arena, our filter starts to look for that kind of performance. And so we rise to that level of thinking because we're surrounded by that level of performance in the others that, you know, we're hanging out with or colleagues that we're working with. So it's the same principle. That the example you gave is a great example of another perspective on that. Call it the law of proximity. You know, you are going to be just like the people you're hanging out with.
You know, I learned that years ago, and I observed it in athletes, that my friends who were runners were not the fastest one in their group. The ones that wanted to be better runners or better athletes or better musicians or whatever, they were hanging out with people who were far and away better than they were. And it was really the beginning of my personal journey to recognize that to be more confident or to be better, to be smarter, to be innovative, whatever the things were that were important to me, that I had to be in touch with. We are, I think, all chameleons in some way. I want to talk a little bit more about these action items. We have a little time. And in your experience as you're coaching people, we talked about the counterintuitiveness of saying I've done something right today. So walk the listeners through a process of, okay, so you're coaching me and you're saying, hey, Sarah, you know, today I want you to write down something you did right. Well, immediately I'm going to say, what, I brushed my teeth? I mean, we're not hardwired, Joanne, to look for the good thing. So, I mean, can you give the listeners some sort of a framework of what am I looking for? How am I looking to praise myself?
I love that. And you know, to your point, brushing your teeth this morning is a beautiful thing to praise yourself for, because everybody that you meet today is really glad that you did.
I know my husband is.
Exactly. So the framework is exactly what you just role modeled in a place where even if you're just thinking a low confidence thought, to insert a higher confidence thought or a praise thought will shift your thinking, just like it shifted our conversation. We started giggling and laughing because that really is praiseworthy. It's praiseworthy to get out of bed in the morning sometimes for many of us. So that's a practical, ongoing way to bring these principles into life. The other way that's a little more pragmatic and requires a little more discipline is to write those praises down. So it's very powerful to write a list of the things that you praise yourself for, both in the morning and at night. And it doesn't need to be a long list, although some people really like this practice and they really like to make the list long. Just two or three, you know. Whoa.
That would be me, I'm sure.
Would that be
hey,
you?
I stayed in the speed limit today. I didn't flip anybody off. But you know, really, for folks who are listening to recognize, yeah, it feels silly. It might feel silly. Oh, I brushed my teeth. Yay for me. But let's go back to what we teach our kids. How do we teach our kids to do the things that they're supposed to be doing? Is, you know, Johnny gets up and goes to the potty, and Susie brushes her teeth and their hair, and they get dressed, and they get their shoes on the right feet, and they tied their own shoes, and we're like going, yay, you know, that's just so good. We quit praising ourselves because, and I'm not going to point fingers, we've been told that that's prideful. Again, I will say that I never struggled with that because luckily enough I struggle with other things, I guess, lucky or unlucky enough. But for people who are listening, like, you know, there may be people who chose to listen even though they don't struggle with it. But what would you say? I'm kind of curious about this one. I don't struggle with it, but I do have friends that struggle. What can I do to help them? I mean, my praise to them is going to be deflected. You know that. They're going to be like, oh, well, not so much. Mm-hmm. This little thing, I just pulled that out of the closet. So how do I help my friends who might struggle? Because nobody wants to be told what to do. They don't want to hear my lecturing on whatever. So what do you suggest? I mean, what do you recommend for confident people to help those around them who might struggle?
One of my favorite things, and this suggestion depends on the level of your friendship. I want to acknowledge that it's not for everybody. And yet for close friends that you see really struggling and you have permission to offer this kind of question, it is another kind of question, which is when you see them not so much struggling but beating themselves up about something, then to invite them to ask, well, what if that's not true?
And that's good.
What if that's not true? And what that does is open up an option, another what question. Like, all of a sudden your brain starts to say, well, wow, that opens up a lot of possibilities for what could be true. You and I have talked about it. We're making all of it up in our brains anyway. So it's very powerful to have somebody interrupt you and say, well, what if there's another story that's empowering that you'd like to make up? How about that? That's one of my favorites. What if it's not true?
Well, I want to combine this with another guest that I have on the show who talks about different things. But she has a question that I think might segue into this nicely, dovetail for sure. What else might be true? Because you always ask the question, and as a matter of fact, I have to tell you, I'm looking at a sticky note on my bulletin board right in front of my desk. One of the first shows you and I ever did, you said to the listeners, what are you willing to think differently about? And I keep that on a sticky note, and I think these are good questions. What are you willing to think differently about? What else might be true? What if that thing you're saying isn't true? Mm-hmm. These are fabulous questions, and I think they apply to many things, not just confidence. What if I'm not smart enough? What if I'm not sexy enough? What if? You know, the constant, as you say, second guessing.
And all of those questions are very powerful at interrupting the habit, and it's simply a habit of criticizing or second guessing or doubting ourselves. You call them superpowers. Those are super questions, the questions that start with what.
Well, and let's make it very clear for the listeners. I'm doing that because that's where I'm comfortable. It's so much more comfortable for me to doubt myself and second guess myself and to say, that old thing, versus saying, I am smarter. I am strong. I am good enough. And so, confidence. But do you think we all have it or not? I mean, is it innate and it's just been squashed?
That's the million-dollar question. And my...
Yeah, it is. My opinion. I asked that as a trick question.
And
you
actually
taught me.
I have been asked that question. And I asked myself that question when I first developed this report about the seven lies, is when I look at a four-year-old having a temper tantrum, there is no question about confidence. So my belief is, unless there is some traumatic event in childhood, we are innately born with confidence. We wouldn't have been able to learn to walk and learn to talk and consume all the information that it took us and all the setbacks that it took us to get through childhood. We wouldn't have sustained our momentum and unstoppability without it. And so I think what happens is we get socialized so we can get along with people, because four-year-olds, you know, there's a challenge there sometimes. We get socialized in a variety of ways. And as a result of that, we start to, our confidence starts to diminish in varying degrees. We start to question it. And it's a really good thing that we get socialized. And so I think what each individual's journey is to regain that sense of self, regain appreciation of who they are authentically, and as you open the show today, regain that appreciation of what they bring to the table and really own that. And that's our journey. It's kind of our journey back to our inner four-year-old who really didn't care. And, however, with the wisdom of an adult.
Yes. I was just going to say, I know some people who are still stuck in the four-year-old mode, but to have the to have that kind of confidence for sure. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break. And when we get back, my guest today, Joanne Marceau, who is a certified results coach, is going to remind you of the most important thing that we talked about today. She's also going to talk about a group she has called the Unstoppables and how you can become a part of that group. So you hang in there. We'll be right back. Well, hello and welcome back to Plaid for Women Radio, brought to you by PlaidForWomen.com. I am Sarah Zink, and I'm your host for this show, and I'm also very proud to be co-founder and chief operating officer of Plaid for Women. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can also visit our online portal and the front page of our digital magazine at PlaidForWomen.com. Well, my guest today has been Joanne Marceau. She's a certified results coach, and we've been talking about number two of the seven lies that will knock the wind out of your confidence. And I told you before the break that when we got back, she was going to share with you the most important thing that you needed to remember about the conversation today and how you can become part of the Unstoppables. So certainly I've got my pen and paper ready, Joanne. What do we need to remember, and how can I join this amazing group?
To distill all this conversation down has been an interesting process. And I would say it all comes back to giving yourself permission to praise and to own what you do well. Because what you notice in your life, you get more of. Where you focus, where you pay attention, you get more of. So when you're focused on what you do well, you just notice and get more of that. And then combined with that is to speak it, to think it, to speak it even to yourself silently, and to speak it to others that you own that. Embracing how awesome you are and what your contribution is to others and what your unique quality is that you bring to the table. When you do that, you expand the results in your life. And you expand the results in the direction that you want, in the direction of your purpose and your passions and the things that fulfill you. So when you have expanded confidence, the end result of that is that you become unstoppable. The things that used to leave you second-guessing and waiting, or that stopped you because there was feedback that didn't feel so great and so you decided it wasn't a good idea, all those things, when you expand your confidence, you continue to act even though those things are a little uncomfortable. And so you become unstoppable. And that's why I created the new Facebook group, which is called The Unstoppables, so that these ideas that we've been sharing today about confidence and many, many more of these same related ideas about awareness, people can have access to that information all the time.
You know, the thought of having a whole bunch of unstoppable women out there is pretty exciting to me. So tell me how people can connect with you and, again, how they can connect with your Unstoppables group.
Actually, the Unstoppables group is a Facebook group. So it's, I think you can just go search either under my name, Joanne Marceau, M-A-R-C-E-A-U, or type in The Unstoppables, and it will take you right there. The other way to connect with me is by my website, which is www.jmarceau.com.
So for folks who are listening, my guest today has been Joanne Marceau, and you can, your website, jmarceau.com. Also on the show page, we do have a link to the complimentary ebook From Status Quo to Status Grow. And so we'd like for people to be able to access that. Thank you so much for making time to join me today, Joanne. It's always a pleasure to have you. So again, I want to encourage you to reach out to her. You can find her online at jmarceau.com. That's M-A-R-C-E-A-U, J. Marceau.com. You can also go to Facebook and look for the group called The Unstoppables, and there you'll get tidbits of her wit and wisdom.